Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inu, nasta'firu, wa nukminubihi azabajala. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. Highly praised be He. We ask Him for help. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. Alhamdulillah, All praise is due to Almighty God. Allah with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. We welcome you once more in this blessed month of Ramadan to the airways of American Muslim 360 as we share the contemplations of our beloved Imam Wadihuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. We share from out of, we have a four volume Ramadan session, collection of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wadihuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. And these volumes have been edited by Imam Ronald B. Shaheed, and we are grateful for his diligent work. Praise be to the Almighty God Allah. And the Imam Wadihuddin Muhammad stated, how do you save God knowledge? How do you protect knowledge? And his answer was, you publish it. You make it known. You make sure it is distributed far and wide. That way others that come behind you cannot come and alter what has been given as a way as knowledge and valuable information. So praise be to Allah. He asked our beloved Brother Ghani, Brother Morocco, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed if they would transpose the recorded lessons that he held with them, private lessons that he held with them, and he shared volumes of his knowledge with them, private. These were private meetings. And he asked them if they would transpose from the recordings and put them into written language and put them in book form and gave them the right to publish them, to edit and publish them, so that his knowledge will not just die with him. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And publish means to make known, to publicize. So we are assisting our beloved brother, Ronald B. Shaheed, in making known what the Imam shared with them. And we're grateful to have this four-volume collection of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wadihuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. First, let me introduce myself. And first off, let me say Ramadan Mubarak to everyone. I trust and I pray that we have a blessed Ramadan. And assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Peace that only Ramadan. Almighty God can give. And I am Kareem Hamid, and I will want to bring on my illustrious co-host, alhamdulillah. As-salamu alaykum, Michael Hamid. As-salamu alaykum, my brother.
Alaykum as-salam, Imam Kareem. I'm having some phone issues where my phone is cutting off, so I'm just giving you a heads up. You know, my phone
is just going dead
for me, you know.
I'm sorry, but I'm experiencing that same thing. My phone will just all of a sudden just cut off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it takes a few minutes for it to reboot itself. So I'm going to change phone. Get me another phone. You know, these warranty companies are nothing but a ruse, you know. So
they look for you to upgrade.
Imam Muhammad shared with us, he said, look, they manufacture how much life they want in a product.
That's right.
So I'm experiencing that same thing, my brother. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So as I was stating, we share from out of the four set Ramadan sessions, the wisdom and logic of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayhi. And let me share some more important information with everyone. I listened to Imam Yahya Abdullah's Ramadan session this afternoon. Wonderful, Ramadan. Wonderful. If you can, go back and review it. It is wonderful. It is definitely information that we definitely need. And invite Christians and others, if they would, to hear that Ramadan session. It was wonderful, my brother. It was beautiful. But at the end, Imam Yahya Abdullah said that he had some important information for us. And he shared with us that the Quran with the commentary and the tafsir of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad on portions of the Quran has been re-edited, mistakes have been removed, and the book is ready for sale. Before I go any further, let me share with everyone Imam Basil Abdullah. Basil Abdullah of Houston, Texas. Him and our beloved brother, Dr. Nasser Ahmed of Michael Sahir, Imam Yahya Abdullah, and others have finally completed the commentary of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad on selected verses and ayats, his tafsir from the Quran. If I may, let me share the phone number that Imam Basil Abdullah encourages us to use so that we can acquire that wonderful publication. And here's the phone number. I hope everyone has their pencil and paper handy. I see an avid student of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad on the studio board, and I know he he has a photographic memory anyway. But let me share with you the phone number, 32-715-2480. Again, 832-715-2480. Imam Basil Abdullah, praise be to Allah. There was no information given as to how much the publication would cost, but he'll share that with you once you reach him, inshallah. So I'm definitely going to place my order, inshallah. Praise be to Allah. So anyway, moving forward, we have completed the first volume of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahid-Din Muhammad, and we have moved to the second volume. And this volume runs from 1999 to the year 2001. And last week, Michael shared the Ramadan session from 1999, December 17th, 1999 to December 19th, 1999. And he shared the theme of the Ramadan session. The theme was, what is the Quran? What is Islam? What is the Prophet Muhammad? What is a Muslim? So this Ramadan session was held at Masjid Bilal in Cleveland, Ohio, 1991. If I'm not mistaken, Michael, help me if you will, did you stop on page 32?
Page 30, the question.
Okay, yes. Okay, all right. This takes us into the question and answer period of the Ramadan session that was held in Cleveland, Ohio. So I'll tell you what, I'll begin at the last paragraph that kind of sets the mood, kind of sets the tone. And then we will move forward in the question and answer. there are those there that are asking questions of Imam Waqidi Muhammad, and he is answering their query, their questions. So the portion I would like to share with you is the subject matter, Imam W.D. Muhammad never comes from his knowledge. And the Imam says, and mind you, I never come from my knowledge. I always come from what's been revealed. You may not recognize it when I'm speaking, but I never come from my knowledge. I come from what's been revealed. If I come from my knowledge, I'll tell you that. I tell you, I make it personal. I say, this is what my experience is. This is what I explain. But I'm not explaining to you that it's personal. And that's what I experienced. I'm coming straight from Scripture. Not always from the Quran, but most of the time from the Quran. But never against the Quran. Whatever I come from, if it's from Bible or anything, it's something that is in accord with the Quran. And if it's not, I'm explaining to you the difference. This comes from the Bible or some other source and is not like what comes from the Quran. So I'm very careful. That's what I want you to know. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prayer is as Surah 12, Ayah 57, or 1200.
Imam, I think he's addressing about Salah.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. He's giving the time. Thank you, Michael. I thought he was giving the surahs in the Quran. Yes. So he says, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Prayer is at 12:15 or 12 o'clock. What time is the Dhuhr prayer? I mean noon prayer. Dhuhr prayer? About 12:15? Yeah, I think that's what Imam Clyde Rockman said. So 12:15. What we'll do is we'll have these comments and everything until 11, about 11 a.m. 15 minutes. It's going to be a little after 11 a.m. And then we will read Quran. And I think we won't go into really the session, the questions, until after Dhuhr prayer. Okay. It should only take about 10 or 15 minutes to do our prayers upstairs. And so at 12:30, we'll start the session with questions. Okay, so we are transitioning to the questions now. Question. Okay, Imam Daoud Mahmoud, Masjid Taqwa, Glenorden, Maryland. Assalamu alaikum. I heard in the meeting this morning, then evidently it was inaudible words stated because it's only three dots following that. And Imam Waqidi Muhammad says, and where are you from? Comment. Masjid Taqwa, Glenorden, Maryland. Assalamu alaikum. I heard the meeting this, and it pauses. Imam Waqidi Muhammad, Masjid Taqwa in, how do you spell that? Comment. Glenorden. Glenarden. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Glenorden? Glenorden, Maryland? Yeah, I've been there too. I was a guest up there twice, wasn't I? Once? Yes. Okay, once. I've been there. Beautiful masjid they have there too. And it's Imam Daoud Mahmoud. It all comes back. My head is clouded with too many thoughts right now. And Imam Daoud Mahmoud, he has now something that he wants to bring to our ears. Daoud Mahmoud speaking. Assalamu alaikum. I just wanted to, this is personal. I just want to say I've been in the community for 21 years. And coming here today and hearing the talk that was going on this morning, talking with some of the brothers that have been in the community a long time, then talking to this young man right here who's 23 years old and might be one of our future leaders, I said, our community has a real bright future. That's my heart's feeling, real bright future. Imam Muhammad answers him, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Imam Daoud Mahmoud continues speaking. And I think that I and always, and I think that I and always wondered what I see the victory in my lifetime. And I think, inshallah. Okay, a personal letter from Rasul Madyun of Memphis, Tennessee. That's what it says in bold type here. But the Imam continues speaking. Imam Walter D. Muhammad, inshallah. That's my expectation too, brother. Yes, sirree. Definitely in your lifetime, and we're going to see big things happen in my lifetime, unless I die very soon. I'm not expecting to, but we never know. Yes, anyone else? Yes, anyone else? Give your name, please, and tell us what city you are from. Question? My name is Rasul Madyun, and I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. This is a personal letter. I guess he's giving the Imam a personal letter. That's all I can draw from that, my commentary. Imam Walter Dean Muhammad, Memphis, Tennessee, Rasul Madyun. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum. Imam Walter Dean Muhammad, alaikum assalam. Imam Rasul Madyun states, this was written for fear of not being able to get it out like I want to get it out, inshallah. This is personal. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is an official letter to you, Imam W.D. Muhammad, informing you of the allegiance of myself as Imam and my efforts in al-Islam to yourself and your progressive work and vision concerning the religion of al-Islam in America. I am a son of Brother Salim Madyun, who is a pioneer businessman here in Memphis, Tennessee, right here, standing on my right. My father followed you out of the Nation of Islam under the Honorable Elijah Muhammad into your teachings that led our community to the pure light of al-Islam. I was born in 1976. And the view that I have of al-Islam from my earliest years have in them the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad. I thank you, Brother Imam, for all of your hard work. You are, to me, a true visionary. We all love you very much in Memphis, Tennessee, at Masjid al-Mukminun, formerly Masjid Muhammad, which was pioneered by Imam Nuri Salam, who passed away recently. May Allah bless his efforts and grant him the paradise originally of Compton, California. I'll skip over some things here. This is the one that I was blessed to grow up in. A property was bought, a Sister Claire Muhammad school with a Musala established in 1979. The major events at the Masjid for the fourth Sunday hookup teaching of yourself, Juma, and Tylee. Never has this community swerved from its allegiance to your leadership, and we still love you and appreciate your work very much, even today, with the sober leadership of local Imam Rashad Sharif. The Imam answers this brother. Thank you. Thank you. Fearless leader. Okay. Oh, no. That's the brother is still speaking. He's saying, thank you, fearless leader. I remember as a young boy sitting hours listening to you teach on the fourth Sunday hookup, and my father made sure we would listen to and read the Quran while we were growing up. I didn't know the effect it was having them then, but Allah has blessed me to know now. I say thank you, fearless leader, for your courage, your consistency, your sincerity, and your unwavering desire to see a better condition for us all. I pray that Allah blesses you forever, and I feel as though you are a family member, even though I have only had the opportunity to shake your hand twice. I have seriously been studying your tafsir of the Quran, and I'm very much trying to advance my knowledge of Al-Islam. I want you to know we will keep the work going, brother Imam. We defined our childhood and direction with your courageous stance in 1975, even until now. When you asked us in Harvey, Illinois, that those ones of us who are concerned about the great task ahead, that we should make our commitment and make it for a lifetime, I understood. I'm a college graduate with a BS degree in biology. My plan is, inshallah, to attend medical school in the next few years, and I'm also planning to go with your delegation on Hajj in 2001, inshallah. Imam Muhammad answers, Alhamdulillah. For us to truly make it home, Rasul Madian continues speaking. Brother Imam, I know you're a busy man. However, I had to take time to let you know these things that weigh heavily on my mind. You have challenged us to be thinkers and to be uncanny. I had to let you know personally the effect you had on me and thousands of others like me. Because of you making it a priority, this young man here will be in Memphis, Tennessee, or wherever Allah sees fit, praying for and working for our success as a community for as long as it takes us to realize the model community and for us to truly make it home. Allah has given us what we expect. Now, the voice of Imam Walter B. Muhammad. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is the blessings of Ramadan. You see, I told you we get special blessings in Ramadan. This is a blessing to all of us in Ramadan to see, you know, in 19, well, I can't remember the exact year, but I was referring to the children that would be born from our parents during my leadership. I said in 1975, about all the children born under my leadership, that they would be children that will have a good life and a better future, and they would be a blessing to us. We'd have a good generation of people coming, and I drew attention to the children that were being born. They were being born in a new time, a new thinking, and receiving Islamic name. I pause right here. Praise be to Allah. For some public service announcements, and if there's any of you that would like to lend commentary on what we've shared just now, I ask you to press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. We pause now for some important public service announcements. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, and this is the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wadifuddin Muhammad. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum, and thank you for supporting the CWSC AM 360 annual Ramadan Telethon, which helps us financially secure our intelligentsia operations. And some of those operations are as follows. The American Muslim 360 Broadcasting Network,
Speakers Bureau, Online National Resource Directory, Volunteer Human Resource Network, The Think Tank, College Scholarship Program, Teams, working together, such as with the Learning Lab, Interfaith and Interfaith Collaborative, Internship and Leadership Development Programs, Ambassador Programs, and International Collaboratives. Please visit us online to see more of the Intelligentsia and the annual report. For your mailing in your donation, you can send it to CWSC Inc., Marina Village, 4905 34th Street South, number 185, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33711-4511. Make your check or money order payable to CWSC, Inc. Thank you, and stay tuned for more information on the Ramadan Telethon.
Alhamdulillah, we are back. Praise be to Almighty God Allah. And it's good to share with you the young voice of this young man that was raised in the environment and under the leadership of our beloved Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad, and that great things would come from those that were raised under his leadership. Matter of fact, on the broadcast study, El Islam this morning, there were, I can't remember her name, there were two young Muslims that have took the initiative. And this is a national movement. They are assembling young adults, to attend a retreat that they come together and fraternize with each other and discuss very serious issues, and how to move the community forward and how to make progress to realize the true Islamic community life. I'm encouraged by that this effort was not headed up by or began by someone of my age, that this is coming from out of them. From out of the young adults from 18 to 35. This is their initiative. This is their baby. And when it's more pure, praise be to Allah, when it comes from them, than that we set up something, we call them to it. Well, that's our thing. But I'm grateful to hear from them that they are definitely communicating with each other, setting up a retreat to sojourn with each other and discuss education, you name the four birds, praise be to Almighty God. It's a wonderful thing to hear that coming from the young adults in this community. And this is a nationwide effort, praise be to Allah. They have a nonprofit organization. I can't find my notes, but I had it written. I got so many notes around here, y'all. But anyway, I had their name in my notes, but if you would, go to the Study El Islam newsletter, and I'm quite sure you will find valuable information there. So praise be to Allah. I just wanted to say that.
Imam, I'd like to share. I announced the person's name, but I'm going to ask them if that's proper, but I'm going to share the information that I was given. I was given information in terms of an assessment tool, and we're in an environment now where these young people with technology and the educational environment that's introducing them ideas in terms of analyzing circumstances, situations, and what have you, understanding more about the human psychology, you know, being more focus in terms of their study of the Quran, you know, and studying the Quran with a purpose, this assessment tool is something that these young people, I'm certain, will be coming into. The idea of SWOT, S-W-O-T, where we identify our strengths, and this can be individually as well as a community assessment. Our strengths, S, our weaknesses, W, our opportunities, O, and T, threats, T-H-R-E-A-T, threats. And in terms of opportunities, I don't think I can tell this story as well as my friend Muhammad Abdullah out of Birmingham, but he mentioned a gentleman on a journey, and it was a journey at night, and he heard a voice that said, "Reach down and pick up the stones." And okay, so he did so, but you know, the voice, it was confusing and the directions were confusing. Pick up the stones. But when the dawn came and the light started coming, he looked into his bag and he saw these precious gems, and he was filled with happiness, and then he felt a bit of sadness. Because if he had known, he would have picked up more stones. And I wanted to share that. You know, we're in Ramadan. Anything that we're doing, you know, with our focus on pleasing God, we get greater benefit than doing those things in any other time in the year. And I want to connect it first with, you know, the giving of a donation going on CWSC.us. Pressing the donate button, and give as much as you can. Don't do like me. Sometimes I extend my hand too far, and I get in a little trouble, you know, and I have to manage a little bit better, and, you know, I wind up, you know, tasting a little something because I put too much resources in this place, you know. But anyway, the point is, you know, the statement is, well, you the amount of $9 and some change is a small amount, but I'm going to invite, because this is Ramadan, I'm going to invite the audience and those that they come in contact with to support CW Community Wide Shura Conference and the AM360 by giving as much as you would like, remembering this story about the stones, you know, these opportunities during Ramadan to give charity from the pocket as well as from our thinking and our spirit. You know, a smile is a charity. And God Most High lastly says, a kind word is of more benefit than a charity, you know, let's say charity out of the pocket, followed up by injury. So let's get the most we can out of Ramadan. Thank you, Imam.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. You know, I was speaking of the founder of American Muslim 360, Imam Thomas Abdul Salam, and may Allah give him his sins and grant him the highest station in the paradise. And our director emeritus, Aisha Kareem. You know, if I'm not mistaken, it was on AM American Muslim 360, and some out of the thinking of our beloved brother Thomas Abdul Salam, that they introduced the broadcast, Share Your Jummah. Share Your Jummah. An opportunity for imams to broadcast their Jummah over the airways of American Muslim 360. And I must say, American Muslim 360 have shared more Jumas than any other platform that I can think of. Now, that has this is a Sadaqa Jaria. This has extended beyond our beloved brother's life.
Yes.
Beyond his life. And it has grown so large now, and it was an aid, praise be to Allah, it was an aid to us during what we call the COVID pandemic. Huh? The COVID pandemic. And it began to grow out of necessity. And now we have Jumas coming, praise be to Allah, from every part of the country, from the brainchild of our beloved brother, from the heart of our beloved brother, Thomas Abdul Salam. So when you give in the fundraising efforts to continue this broadcast and the community-wide Shura conference, your blessings are very great because you are enabling Jumas to be broadcast around the world. And as we all know, Juma has a greater value than the two Eids, Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. So your giving and us continuously broadcasting to share your Juma, your dollars are going to a very, 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 very valuable, worthy cause. There is no value that we can place on it that Allah would place on your efforts of keeping this organ growing. Praise be to Allah. That's how I'm looking at the fundraising now. It's by way of the Quran and the life example of our Prophet Muhammad and what the Prophet Muhammad has said concerning Juma and the brainchild of our Imam Walter D. Muhammad that suggested, I need y'all, if you would, establish an intelligentsia. Thomas Abdul Salam heard that. And he put his money, his muscle, his blood, his sweat, his tears, his intellect, everything into establishing this platform that we have now. There was a brother doing business in China. It was at night, and he tuned in, and he heard a Juma all the way in China. So this is no small thing we are doing. So I'll stop right there. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. So alhamdulillah, we are growing. And it's so good to hear our young adults of their own energy, their own efforts, coming together to connect with one another and share what Allah had blessed them with. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Let me move on. Imam Muhammad is answering this young brother's statements that have pledged his allegiance to following in the association of Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Imam Muhammad says, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. This is the blessings of Ramadan. You see, I told you, we get special blessings in Ramadan. This is a blessing to all of us in Ramadan to see, you know, I can't remember the exact year, but I was referring to the children that would be born from our parents during my leadership. I said in 1975 about all the children born under my leadership that they would be children that would have a good life and a better future, and they would be a blessing to us. We'd have a good generation of people coming. And I drew attention to the children that were being born. They were being born in a new time and new thinking and receiving Islamic names. He is our hope. So I expected from them would come persons like our brother here. And he's the evidence that Allah has given us what we expect. And he spoke not only in his name, he spoke in the name of many, in the name of many of his peers. Yes, that is wonderful. And that's the hope for us. That's our hope. He is our hope. He and youngsters like him, they are our hope, because we'll be gone. We won't be living. We'll be gone. We'll be gone from here, but they'll still be here. And isn't it wonderful that Allah is showing us that our future is going to be in the hands of sincere persons like him? So I ask Allah to reward his father and his mother and his family, all of them, his father especially, his father for his leadership. Jazakallah khair, katharan, min khairakul. We hope that Allah grants him rewards from all that is good. Good from all that is good. Yes, sir. Abundance of good. And we have no desires unanswered. Inshallah. That's our prayer. So, is there another one who wants to? Yes, Brother Mal, stand. Give your name instead. Question. Jihad Shaheed, St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown. Praise be to Allah. Imam W.D. Muhammad, St. Louis, Missouri, Jihad Shaheed. Yesterday, you were explaining about the legitimacy of the prophecy and the seal. I didn't get that. How the seal, all prophets have equal legitimacy with God. This is the subject that he's addressing. Imam W.D. Muhammad. Yes, the legitimacy of prophets, not prophecy. I was talking about the legitimacy of prophets, that when Allah said to us, say, we believe in the prophets, end of quote. That is messengers, prophets, and messengers of God, quote, and we make no distinction among them, end of quote. That is to say that all prophets have equal legitimacy with God, just like all children born of their parents have equal legitimacy as children of those parents. All prophets have equal legitimacy with God. It doesn't mean that they are all equal in their value to the society or their value to the world or to God, or they're equal in their contribution or equal in their service to Allah. They are not. They're different. They differ in every other regard. But as legitimate servants of God, they all are equal, because God called them all. God missioned them all, approved them all, and they all are equal as legitimate messengers of God. Why is that said? I said this yesterday, and I'm saying it again. In some religions, the legitimacy is not the same for all the prophets of God. Some have stronger legitimacy, and some have weaker legitimacy. I'll give you one expression that will bring the message, the idea home. It'll bring it home to you right away. Quote, and such one was God's only begotten son, end of quote. This is said of David in the Old Testament, and it's said also of Jesus in Christian theology, that this one is God's only begotten son. So what's the meaning of, quote, this is the only begotten son? What is meant by son? What is meant by begotten? That is unacceptable language in Islam. But if we understand it, what it's saying is that God inspired them, and they were purely and wholly the product and the result of God's inspiration to them, as God inspired them, where some others were not. they had other things behind or involved in their inspiration. And they were partly inspired by God and partly inspired by something else. If they were, then they were not legitimate prophets or messengers of God. So the Quran makes them all equal, and they all have equal legitimacy. Is that clear? If not, raise your hand. Hold on, please. Yes, give your name. Can you raise your hand? No, can you raise your voice? Comment. Hanif Khalil, Kansas City. I felt these meetings were elite and exclusionary. Mm-hmm. Okay. Imam Walter D. Muhammad, yes, Kansas City. Hanif Khalil, Brother Imam, I just want to express my appreciation and gratitude for extending this particular invitation to this retreat for your students and not just imams. I'm very much appreciative of that. I mentioned that to Brother Rafa at the airport yesterday. I said, this is what we should be doing all the time. So I'm very appreciative to be a part of this. Also, I felt at some point that these meetings were elitist and exclusionary, and I feel much better because of the invitation extended to the students. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Imam Walter D. Muhammad answered. Thank you for that observation and expression. You know, we want to see resources used, and we don't ignore any of our good resources. So we can't get that unless we involve, open the door to all that are interested in what we're doing and want to contribute. We have to open the door to all of them, males and females. We didn't specifically say females are invited, but we said students, and I knew some sisters would be here. We're very happy you're here. Yes, we still have a few more minutes. Let me see. All right. Comment. As-salamu alaykum. Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Yes, sister. Comment. My name is, it says in parentheses, the rest is unclear. Imam Walter D. Muhammad asked, from where? Comment. From Norfolk, Virginia. Imam Walter D. Muhammad. Norfolk, Virginia. Thank you. Comment. My question is, by today's standards, the marriage of Prophet Muhammad to Aisha would be frowned upon. She was of a young age. Help us to understand that relationship. And also, what was her major contribution to him as the messenger of God? Imam Walter B. Muhammad answers, yes. Now, let me see. I'm straining to hear, but I think I heard everything. Her question is, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet Muhammad, may God be pleased with her, radi Allahu anha, what was her relationship to him, her particular relationship with him? Is that right? Comment. I want to know, by today's standards, wouldn't it be frowned upon, since she was of a young age when he married her? Imam Walter D. Muhammad answers, yes. You want to understand the merits? The answer comment, yes, sir. Imam W.D. Muhammad, yes. Okay. Comment. And also, what was her contribution to him? The Prophet's marriage to Aisha. Imam Walter D. Muhammad. And also, what was her contribution to him? Yes. Now, the earliest age that's reported is 9 years old. However, there have been studies made by scholars, and they said that she couldn't have been younger than 18 years old. But let's say she was 9 years old. In many cultures of the East, Far East, Middle East, Jews, etc., a young child can become the wife of an adult, responsible person, or even a minor, before the marriage is actually consummated or carried out, or I would say the relationship has started as a man-slash-wife relationship long before they can be married. So it doesn't mean that she got in his bed at that time, because he accepted her as a wife. He accepted her as a wife, and perhaps only when she matured and was grown as a young woman and was able to then understand that relationship that she was performing as the wife of the prophet. So understand this too. Don't think of sex when you think of marriage in Islam, because marriage in Islam is not supposed to be based upon sex. The sexual desire is not supposed to determine marriage in Islam. It says marry women, but not out of sexual desire. Marry them for their worth to you as women, wives, as wives and mothers of children. That's what you marry them for. You don't marry them for sex. Sex is a great benefit you get along with marriage and not a friend's benefit. It's stronger than a friend's benefit. It's a great benefit that you get from your marriage or from that relationship with the wife. But sex is not what you want. I'm going to pause here, see if there's anyone that would like to lend some commentary to what we shared thus far. Praise be to Allah. If so, press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Okay. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Sometimes I want to say things, and sometimes I hope that I say them correctly and that they're understood. I'm a widow, and I'm doing all right. Praise be to Allah. But my last, and I've been married three times. All Kareem. But my last wife, Aisha, you know, I was asked by Sister Manira was hosting the broadcast. It's about courtship and marriage. And she was sharing from out of a publication asking the question, why do men marry? Why do they marry? And we got quite a few answers. But I shared with her that during the courtship phase, the preparation for the nikah, the awali, the getting to know this person and them knowing me. You know, you can reach a point in the sharing whereby you may start off with your defenses up. You know, you're just normal, just natural to somewhat protect yourself. But as you continue to interact with each other and have honest conversations with each other, and the conversations reach an inner level, it's not just surface talk anymore, whereby you are sharing intimate parts of your life, eventually the defensive posture begin to melt away. As that person trust you with certain inner things about them, and you trust them with certain inner content about you. Sometimes it's not all embellished. Sometimes it's some things that I said, I'm taking that to the grave with me. I'm not letting nobody. I'm taking that to the grave with me.
reached that because she shared so honestly and so in depth with me. And through hearing the vulnerabilities that she shared with me, we all have vulnerabilities and tender spots. I came to the conclusion that I want to protect you. I want to protect you from those areas that I know are very sensitive and tender to you. I want to be the one to secure that. I want to be the one to provide the safety and security for you. No one else. And it was upon that basis that we became husband and wife. So you can, someone can have a young daughter, and she's a, yet a small child, and you and your friend are the very close friends, and he respects you. He is aware of how responsible you are, your good heart, your good intentions. And he can say to you, I wish you could become the husband of my daughter. Protect her. Take care of her, for she's my daughter. And you mean just that much to me. And that can happen. I'll stop right there. I hope I haven't said too much, but I think that needs to be said.
A word to the wise is sufficient. And not only you think, I know it can happen, you know, I know it to be true and something that is has been done down through history, you know. I appreciate you sharing that because this is Ramadan and it's a good It's good to have our sensitivities uplifted, you know. It's good to have a language environment that has us thinking above our day-to-day thoughts. You know, I've studied a little bit about communication. And as a student, you know, we're told that, I'm going to say ruminate. That's an old term. But people repeat thoughts over and over again. The same kind of thoughts and patterns over and over again, day in, day out, you know, and on and on. And oftentimes, according to the reporters of communication science, you know, a lot of times those thoughts are negative, you know. So the more we become aware of how we work as human beings, the more, I won't say the more, the better we can become more conscious of improving our life. And that's what Ramadan is about. Ramadan is using the Quran, reading the Quran every day. And it's the most excellent form of education. It's revelation. That's better than just education in general. Revelation is a special language that God gives to his servant, the prophets and messengers. And they pass it on to those who are willing to be believers in the prophet and in the message that he brings. And with that, the intention is to make our life better as human beings, to improve our behavior. That's basically the message in the Quran and from the prophet, that if we're not improving our behavior during Ramadan, then we're just with going hungry and thirsty, because that's the aim. You know, the aim is to utilize the Quran to educate us and help us to see how we can make our improvements in our behavior. And I'll stop there.
Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. It's a reset button, praise be to Allah. Going to move forward. Yes, sir, go ahead, my brother.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Yes, sir.
If there's anyone that would like to share. We ask you to press 1 on your phone. I will unmute your mic. This is Ramadan. You are to be charitable. You are to be charitable. And it's some excellent minds and pure hearts out there. You should be willing to share what Allah has placed on your in your heart on this on in this Ramadan, and share what Allah has blessed you with in your thinking. Praise be to Allah, the blessings of the Ramadan. So we ask you to be charitable in this blessed month. Praise be to Allah. Okay, I'm going to pause once more for a public service announcement. And I ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you. This is Dr. Constance Shabazz for American Muslim 360, announcing a new program from our parent corporation, CWSC, called Eyes on Our Communities. While all are being challenged by the current public health environment and policy of spatial distancing to prevent the spread of COVID-19, some older Americans are being urged to stay at home who could unfortunately wind up being out of sight, out of mind. Social isolation itself can be a threat. So CWSC is asking believers nationwide via its National Volunteer Human Resource Network to be an extra set of eyes now for our seniors to help ensure they're okay. If you're a senior or a disabled person and need assistance, please call 910-317-0297, and one of our volunteers will be assigned to call you and help connect you with government agencies, nonprofits, civic or faith-based and other institutions addressing elderly and disabled needs. We don't want a single person to fall through the cracks. So please call 910-317-0297. Help is just a phone call away. The public service announcement from the CWSC and AM360.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdul Aziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360. CWSC is inspired by the visionary leadership of the late Imam W.D. Muhammad, Rahimahullah Alayh, and his proposition that our communities need a studious group of persons, or an intelligentsia, studying our history and circumstances and envisioning a brighter future for succeeding generations to live better in America. In 1999, an important step was taken to fulfill the shared vision of structuring an intelligentsia with a national think tank capable of serving first our community and then eventually national and global interests. We welcome you to American Muslim 360 listenership. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
And we are back at Alhamdulillah. This is the broadcast of the Contemplators of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad. We're sharing with you from out of the second volume collection of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad Rahimahullah Alayhi. We are sharing with you a Ramadan session that was held in Cleveland, Ohio at Masjid Bilal, December 17th, 2019. 1999. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. So we move forward. Okay, the imam is answering a question concerning the marriage between Aisha radiallahu anha and our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, let me begin here. So understand this too. Don't think of sex when you think of marriage in Islam, because marriage in Islam is not supposed to be based upon sex. The sexual desire is not supposed to determine marriage in Islam. It says marry women, but not out of sexual desire. Marry them for their worth to you as women, wives, as wives and mothers of children. That's what you marry them for. You don't marry them for sex. Sex is a great benefit you get along with marriage and not a friend's benefit. It's stronger than a friend's benefit. It is a great benefit that you get from your marriage or from that relationship with the wife. But sex is not what you want. If we marry, get women just for sex or females for sex, we are no better than the animals. In fact, we're worse than many animals because many animals don't mate for sex. They mate for social life. So we'd be worse than many animals if we mated, got women just for sex. But the West, that's the mind of the West. If you want a woman, you want to go have sex with her. That's not me. I want a woman because I want company. I want a female company. That's why I want a woman, and sex is a benefit. Sex counts. I wish it were only brothers here. I sure would like to tell you something. It would be plain. I can make it real plain to you, brothers. My brother, man, praise be to Allah. Okay. Everything the prophet did was honorable and right. So now, let's get back to it. So this is a touchy question. I mean, among scholars, a touchy question. They don't like to discuss that question. She was so young. Was she mature? Now, let's look at something else. It never bothered me, really. That question never bothered me because I know the prophet. First of all, I met the prophet before I met his wife, Aisha. So I knew the prophet, and I trusted the prophet. I know everything he did was honorable and right. So let's look at something else now. When the world was not as developed as it is now, females matured much faster than they do now. And since I've been living, I've seen males and females state children for much longer time periods than we did. We grew up and became adults and responsible much faster than these youngsters are doing now on the whole. Most of these youngsters are hardly ready for marriage or responsibility, adult responsibility. Now, until they're over 25 years old, so don't even qualify until they're 30-something. Or 40 years old. This is reality. This is true nowadays. They still have a child's mind, a boy's mind. They are not accepting responsibility as an adult. So they're mentally still boys. They are not grown men. When the sexual urge becomes strong, and the same thing goes for females, they are not as far behind as males, but most females in our time now, they are not ready for marriage. Not at the age many of our females were ready when I was a boy. Sometimes a girl 12 years old was ready for a marriage when I was a boy. At 12 years old, she was already married. When the sexual urge becomes strong, don't you think you ought to start thinking about marriage? Excuse me. When the sexual urge becomes strong, don't you think you ought to start thinking about marriage? What are you going to think about if you're not thinking about marriage? Fornication? Huh? So when the sexual urge becomes strong, you should start discussing marriage with your children, with your girls, with your boys. Say, quote, you ought to be thinking about marriage. Say, quote, I know what you want, but you ought to be thinking about marriage. Now, how are they going to marry? This is something new I'm revealing, I'm telling you about. I said this a long time ago, many years ago, to you all. The parents and the grandparents should help these children if they love each other enough. Hey, quote, let's marry. You don't have to consummate the marriage, but marry and say, this is my wife or this is my husband. I'm getting educated so I can be a good husband. And she will say, I'm getting educated so I'll be a good wife, a better wife. So I can be a better wife and a better mother. And he will do the same, better father, better mother, getting educated. And my parents are taking care of me, and my grandparents are taking care of me. They are counseling me. They're advising me. They're preparing me for marriage, the responsibility of marriage. But they're already married if they really love each other. Don't you know that's going to make them really, really have tight, close bonds and strong ties to each other when you say, yeah, you can marry. That's your wife. This is your husband. Now, if they should have sex, they're going to do it anyway. You are not going to stop these youngsters from having babies. They are doing it. But look at the shame on you, the family, and on them and the difficulty for them when they're doing it out of wedlock. Now, this is nothing that I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you what I would like to see. This is what I would like to see for my daughter. I got a daughter now. If ever she's in love, she's 13. She made 13 in September. If she proves, shows me she's really in love with a young man, and I think that her love is clean and that she wants this man not for tonight or for a few minutes, but she wants him for the rest of her life, and he feels the same about her, I'm ready to marry them anytime, tonight, tomorrow, anytime. I'm ready to officiate the marriage. And then I will advise them, look, restrain yourself sexually. You can be with each other, but stay away from strong temptation. Don't indulge the flesh. Get through school. Get all that out of the way first, and then consummate the marriage. That's what I would be trying to help them do. And with the mics off, I'll tell them, if you're forced to get some protection, if you have to, if you're driven to that extent, get some protection. Because you're not ready to have babies right now. You're still a baby yourself. Okay, I pause now, and I'm seeing if anyone would like to share from what we've shared thus far. I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic.
Okay. Amen. Kareem.
Yes, sir.
This presentation shows us that Imam Muhammad is not just bringing us, or has not just brought us to the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad, but he's brought us to sensible living, you know, reasonable living and strategies for not complicating the life and embarrassing the life of our family. You know, this is important social information that the Imam is sharing with us, wisdom, the application of knowledge that helps us to be more productive and to be healthier. You know, the state of America and the exaggerated emphasis on sex has literally destroyed the African American community. And you have women who are less afraid of having a baby and taking care of a baby on their own than they are in terms of getting married. And oftentimes, when the conversation, if the subject is brought up, they didn't really think they didn't see enough value in the man who they had a baby by to marry. You know, I didn't want to marry him. You know, she just wanted to get a good feeling. That's what I'm hearing, the suggestion. If you didn't want to marry him, but you had a baby by him, well, what was that all about? You know, and the lack of that last advice that the Imam gave. If you got to do it, use some protection. You know, I mean, it's just we have been blessed with a leader, and he's left these wise insights. There are thousands and thousands of pages of these wise insights to help us have a healthier and a more productive future. Alhamdulillah.
Thank you, Michael. Praise be to Allah. Imam Muhammad, praise be to Allah, he brought us the steps towards civilization. You notice in his commentary, he continuously pressed the issue of responsibility, being responsible. We have a caller on the line, Erico 727408. Bilal the poet, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah, Ramadan Mubarak, everybody. Alhamdulillah. You know, it's Allahu Akbar. You know, you see Imam Muhammad, he deal with the human nature. And then the young people, they have time to learn more about their religion, and they begin to ascend higher in their God consciousness. And then after that, they come back down and they do their social responsibilities and be assets to the whole world, the global society at large, because now they know how to go about approaching life. And many of us, we have to ascend up right now too to have a God consciousness. We can ascend and have a knowledge about religion and come back down. We can be more productive. So praise be to Allah. I heard that before, but I heard a little more this time than I had heard before. So praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We thank you to Allah for you, man. Watadi Muhammad. And alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. Bilal. Thank you, my brother. I remember when he first presented that. I remember that. And it stuck with me. And, you know, I didn't hear too much commentary on it from other people. But that,
I know
what he just said, that stayed with me. And it just, but the operative word is responsibility.
That's right.
That's the operative word. Yes, sir.
That kind of communication, very much aware of the young person's sensitivities, aware of the state of a young man or woman in puberty, and those urges becoming stronger and stronger. And that kind of language, conversation, brings us closer to the children that we share this with, you know, that they care about me, mom and daddy or whoever the caretaker is or whoever's concerned, they care about me, you know, and they want the best for me. And they understand I'm going through something, you know. They understand these urges that I'm dealing with, you know. So it has more. It's just wisdom, man, in terms of how to live this life and help our children coming behind us how to live this life.
Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. You know, there was a time coming down through human history whereby men would question their sons. Hey, isn't it about time you settle down and start a family? Young men that were filled with frivolity and foolishness were not respected in the community. They were not respected nor trusted. There was a sense of there's a stage in life where as a child, I did childish things.
Yeah.
But when I became a man, I put away those childish things. And men need to draw that line. Say, but how long are you going to be playing the part of a fool? I mean, how long are you going to continue to just play? You know, there's more to life than play, son. There's more to life than play. Sit down. Let me have a talk with you.
That's right.
Yes, yes. There were men like that. For real. And it hasn't been that long. But we know that we're in an environment that has been heavily influenced.
That's right.
By faith. We have to know that. The Quran is our first line of defense. And the example and the character of our Prophet Muhammad is the second line of defense. Terrible, satanic influenced environment you're in. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to share? I ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Okay, 727-741, assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Martha Naila Abdullah.
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to both you and Michael and all our listeners, and Ramadan Mubarak. Alhamdulillah. I am finding out more and more as I just notice creation. And I'm speaking specifically about trees and plants and the grass. But it's just a connection I'm making. And as I'm making it, I'm realizing how we want to capture what we see and remember it. But writing it down, some will say journaling it, but just however we put it, whether we put words that will remind us of it, but dating it and really are and what we are doing and how we are feeling about doing what we are doing, I'm finding there's more, you know, there's more time to the day to do that. And then how are we completing our tasks that we give to ourselves? First of all, giving ourselves some tasks. I know we you know, sometimes we look at our laundry and we know we have to do that, and we know we have to be a note about our own grooming of ourselves. And then the specifics, you know, taking care of nails and teeth and hair, those specifics. But then there's that time where we sit and just think and ask ourselves, what are we thinking about, and how does it make us feel? and our relationship with the Creator, you know, because time is just going, and we're in it. And so that's what I've been drafting words on paper and doing and thinking back in my mind about, you know, from the yesterdays to today and how, you know, it, and right away to my mind comes the songs my mother always loved to sing, how I got over. And I know it's still more hills to get over, but
That's right now.
Yeah. How I've got over. And this little light of mine,
okay,
be you lightly or heavily equipped, you know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And the last one is, we've come this far by faith. And I'll stop right there. Thank you so very much. Assalamu alaikum.
That's all right.
Wow, alaikum assalam. You know, I was listening to Imam Rashad doing a Ramadan session earlier today. And he was dealing with the word zikr. We know zikr means to think. But also, Allah tells us, Allah warns us that the human being is very forgetful.
Yeah.
So Allah continuously repeats himself in different scenarios. The Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, he is identified as a warner, to warn us from those catastrophes that happen behind us. We should remember what led to their downfall. And as our beloved sister just mentioned, she stops and she thinks. She looks at the creation around her. Then that is very, for real, our minds do not come or not quicken until it comes into contact with material reality. The metaphorical thinking that we have, the abstract. Imam Muhammad says the abstract comes from the observation of the material reality. You know, so inshallah, you know, yeah, when we stop and rethink, I mean, there's a whole chapter in the Quran called the ant, gnaw, the bee, and the ant. They have communities like unto your own, and they are very responsible creatures. They are very responsible. So we have been led away from responsibility and led into an idea of frivolity, like not having no responsibility is a sign of freedom. No, that's a sign of slavery. So anyway, I won't go on too much about that, but we have to inshallah, have these conversations with young people whose minds are open and ready for such a serious conversation. There are young women whose minds are very strong, who are deep thinkers. There are young men whose minds are very strong. They are not so playful. They are deep thinkers. Sometimes if we share with them our memories, if we share with them our memories, our life, what happened to us? Sometimes that helps them. But if we come to them as if I've never done anything wrong, I've been a saint all my life, and I've come, stop. They want to identify with you. And you mentioned something, Michael, that the Imam Muhammad speaks from the human nature. you know, our human nature. We were challenged by these same circumstances.
Yeah.
That the evil is mentioning now, all of us, if we tell the truth. So being honest and open with our children and only those that are not, matter of fact, Allah prohibits us to don't leave your possessions to a foolish child.
Yes.
Allah says that to us in the Quran, do not leave your possessions, your business, to a foolish, irresponsible child. So I hearken back to the importance of responsibility. Let me share now the Imam's expression on an exceptional female with an extraordinary mind. Wait a minute. Okay. Oh, I lost my place. Yeah. Aisha became a scholar in Islam. Now, getting back to Aisha, radiallahu anha, may God be pleased with her. I think I already say it without saying directly that I believe she, at the age of 9, was like 15 or 16 in my time, not in these children's time today. She was like 15 or 16 in my mind when I was a boy, the girls that were around when I was a boy. And who knows, she was the daughter of special parents, especially her father. Who knows how much education she had at 13 about society, about females and males, and responsibility in the house. Who knows? She could have had that maturity because of the environment she was in that would make her more adult than many of our women today who are 35 years old. How do we know? We don't know. So we cannot judge the past by our own picture of reality today. You cannot judge reality back then and by this picture we have of reality today. That's the first thing I want to bring to your mind. The next thing I want to bring to your mind, I already mentioned it, that it's possible that actually she did not become his wife at 9 years old, but it was 18 years old or much later. The history and detail can easily be confused. Another thing about Aisha, she was a very conscious believer, conscious of the prophet as messenger of God and his responsibilities, very conscious of it. And I think her father had a lot to do with that. She was very conscious of that. And she was studious at a very early age. She had proved that she was a very good scholar, student. And she became a scholar. She became a scholar in Islam. An exceptional female with an extraordinary mind. So this speaks for an exceptional mind. She was just not an ordinary female with an ordinary mind. She was an exceptional female with an extraordinary mind. She's quoted today by scholars. I quote her myself, and other scholars quote her a lot because they're more familiar with a lot more of her things than I am. I have not studied her as a subject. I have not taken up Aisha as a subject to study her, except for the marriage, for the marriage issue, the issue of marriage to the prophet. Now, the prophet didn't ask for her. She was brought to the prophet, and it was his companion. God be pleased with him. It was his companion who wanted his daughter to be the wife of the prophet. I'll stop right there. That's me saying this. I'm stopping right here. This confirms what I said earlier, how I felt. You know, I trust you, man. I'm leaving with you some of the most precious possession that I have. I trust
That's right.
you to that point. Yes, but my God, think about that, y'all. If you could choose a good husband for your daughter, not somebody you met just last month, but you know him to be upright and honest. It is Abu Bakr that came to the Prophet Muhammad.
Yeah.
Her father.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm a little familiar with the circumstances that I'm just going to, excuse me, this is just part of my makeup. Some sisters got rubbed the wrong way when Imam Muhammad married Sister Khadija, but her daddy talked to Imam, you know. Her daddy talked to Imam about him marrying her, you know. So, you know, in real life, you know, in modern day life, this still
Wonderful.
Goes on. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Still goes.
Yes, sir. 20th century life. Praise you to Allah. Okay, I'll read on. If there's anyone else that would like to share, I ask you to press one on their phone. Let me stop. Enough said from me. Okay. Now, the prophet didn't ask for her. She was brought to the prophet, and it was his companion. God be pleased with him. It was his companion who wanted his daughter to be the wife of the prophet. So understand that. That's evidence that that was something normal back then, that it was normal. It was a normal thing that you could present a young female to a male to be married for marriage, and nothing was thought of it. They weren't abusive like we are, you know. In fact, I'll be with my children, and I see people looking at me sometimes. Like they think I kidnapped the children or something. It's like they're saying, what is that old man doing with these young children? And I remember I was going to a restaurant with my wife, and they were looking at me like they were angry with me, like I'd done something wrong to them personally. My wife is young, you know. So they say, is this your daughter? I say, yes, this is my daughter, and we do some terrible things together. I'm going to laugh some of them. So they mess with me, and I mess with them. And my children, you know, they look at my children. Is this your grandchildren? I said, they certainly are my grandchildren. I said, each one is grand. So, you know, the first thing you think of in this society, Western society, that is, just so sex-minded, the first thing they think of is sex. It must be sex here. It's not the whole of life. It's just a necessity, and it's a blessing that God has given us along with the marriage, you know? In fact, the prophet said it's a blessing, didn't he? Yeah, he said it's a blessing. And they asked him, how is that, dear messenger of God? He said, well, if you were to have it unlawfully, wouldn't it be a curse? Wouldn't it be a sin? And that's all he said. But you all want a lecture behind that. Not all of you. I'm just talking to a few of you. Words of the wise. Well, we're going to have to wrap it up in 5 minutes. We went all overtime. Yes, the brother in the back. Is that brother Barry? I can't see too well either. I've got glasses on, but I can't see very well. Brother Barry from Baltimore. I mean Washington, D.C., pardon me. Brother Barry speaking. Ramadan Mubarak, my concern is about the Dawah session this morning. Dawah for us is propagating Islam with Imam Walter Dean Muhammad's tafsir. Imam Walter Dean Muhammad speaks. You can come closer. I'm hearing you, but come closer. Come about center of the room. Brother Barry speaking. Dawah for us is propagating Islam with Imam W. Dean Muhammad's tafsir. Is that right? Imam Walter Dean Muhammad answers him, yes, but I wouldn't like you to start using that language. Don't say my tafsir when you just want to say that you're doing dawah as a student or as supporter of my dawah efforts. Just say that it is dawah behind the leadership of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, or dawah in the community we call the Muslim American Society. That's good enough. Just identify the group, the Muslim American Society, dawah in the Muslim American Society. Or if you want to tie it in to me to make it clear that the dawah is the dawah of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, or supporting the dawah of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you should just say it like that. Say, our dawah is in support of Imam W.D. Muhammad's dawah. Praise be to Allah. So what I'm saying, what it's saying here, this is, I'm saying this seeking clarification or seeing if I'm clear on this point being made. We say the tafsir of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Well, now, I know this is 1999. A lot has occurred between 1999 and 2008. The Imam was evolving. He was continuously growing. He remained. So I'll just leave it right there like that, because I don't want to get into some weeds that may change as we move forward. I've been informed we've got 90 seconds of broadcast time left, and I shall bring to the close the contemplations of Imam Walter Dean Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi, and we welcome you each and every time for the contemplations of Imam Walter Dean Muhammad. I'm soliciting some closing remarks from you, Brother Michael. From you, Michael. And I see Martha's hand is still raised, and Bilal has raised his hand. So let me give you the last say, Michael. I'm opening up the mic of Muzanala Abdullah. Do you have any closing remarks to make?
I just appreciate this Ramadan environment and working with you and sharing. I know that there, and I don't think about it this way, you know, except just on occasion, but I know that this sharing the clear language of Imam Muhammad and this language being within the context of the Ramadan environment is very important to any and all that we share it with. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. And praise be to Allah. I'm grateful for your presence. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Sister Martha, do you have any closing statements to make?
You mean Martha. Okay. Yes. I will say all that exists, we are not the originator. So therefore, this Ramadan has really brought that home face front to me of why I have faith, and then I've established a belief system to be conducive to that faith. I'll stop right there. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Wa Ramadan mubarak. I'm going to open up the mic of one that have not spoke yet. I see you, Bilal. You just hold on, please. Erico 314833. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from.
Alaikum assalam. Ramadan Mubarak to you, Kareem Hamid, Michael Hamid, and to your very distinguished radio listening audience at AM 360 Radio. This is Mark Shahi from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis, the Show Me State of Missouri. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to God first and foremost, always. Just want to express my gratitude, appreciation, Kareem and Michael, for the dedication, commitment, and the diligence in terms
praise
of each and every
praise.
Sunday.
Praise
you know, have, conveying these Ramadan sessions that I think that maybe many wasn't able to be present, but because of the work that has been done for the preservation of this, and then to have a platform such as AM360 to be able to convey that message to those who were not present is invaluable. And I just want to express my thanks and appreciation. Thank you so much. Very substantive. Yeah, very substantive and valuable information, and especially with Imam Muhammad's not only knowledge, but his wisdom and understanding of revelation and also natural creation. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. All praise to Allah.
I want to say to Mark that he's a part of what I, in my opinion, you know, your comments are a part of this, what is it, the jariya, the giving that has a lasting influence, you know, long after we're gone. So, you know, though I don't think many on the air see it that way, but that's the way I'm looking at it, that AM 360 is that, and those that participate financially and with their comments, this is, in my opinion, you know, this is a giving, a jariya that will, you know, that will be put in the bank account with our Lord, so to speak.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Go ahead, man.
No, I was just, you know, I caught his message. Thank you so much, and praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. So thank you so much for that. Alhamdulillah.
You know, these broadcasts are archived. They will be here beyond us. And those that come behind us can expect the archives. So what our participation here will live on beyond us. That's why it is so important that we present the best of ourselves, because there are others that will come behind us that will access these archives. And I must say, it's a wonderful jewel from what I've heard over the many years I've been here on American Muslim 360. Everyone has such valuable contribution to make. Praise be to Allah. This is our Sadaqa Jariya. I'm opening up the mic of Bilal, the poet laureate of American Muslim 360. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. And we can look at the fact that what Sister Aisha, the prophet wife, became. So praise be to Allah. And also, I'd like to start off with a donation of $50 to the AM360. Kick off the telephone.
Alhamdulillah.
That's it.
Allahu Akbar. And I was I was watching a duck while she was talking, and also send me something to writing so I can put it in poem form. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum
assalam.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah. So this brings this broadcast to a close, and I pray that we have a blessed Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. We are getting ready to enter into a third stage of the Ramadan, freedom from the fire, freedom from the hell, the fires of sin. Praise be, as we step over into that environment, let us be conscious of that. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. Michael, I'm looking forward to you presenting next Sunday, inshallah,
yes,
as we move forward in these wonderful volumes of the Ramadan sessions of Imam Wahdati Muhammad.
Me too.
Okay, praise be to Allah. We invite you to tune in tomorrow. I believe, I'm not sure if Brother William Kareem, if he's out of the hospital yet, but before I say anything, I will, Martha, have you heard anything? Go ahead, please.
Yes. He's out of the hospital. He's just given way for the session to be, Quranic recitation to be read. He's not handling it, but yes, he'll be back on the, I guess, the 15th or 14th, whatever date that is, after the Eid.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. So may we all be present tomorrow for the 21st recitation and reading of the 21st Jews in the Quran on American Muslim 360. We came to you with the greetings of peace. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa Ramadan Mubarak. That is, may the peace, blessings, and mercy of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we all have a blessed Ramadan.
Ramadan is here.
Now I got a plan before it's come and gone. Getting close to a line, spend a lot of time. See the condition of my heart like a sonogram. Everybody knows we got the fast, but does everybody know how the time is fast? Is it sleeping all day and the night's a blast? And forgetting the reward in the months of fast. I know you gonna wake up right, drinking water, maybe being pie, praying at sunrise. Fast in the day, keeping that dean tight, breaking fast with the day's part of where you're at night. Alright. It's a blessed month, doesn't mean that it's hard that you can't have fun, but strive in your heart, be your Lord the one, and be blessed by your love when the month is done. Bust in the door like, get yourself up, you about to miss a whore. Turkey bacon on the plate, but I'm beefing. I'm upstairs sleeping while they down here eating. Scenes like this, it makes me reminisce what it meant. Growing up for Ramadan as a kid, my homies buying up the corner store. Now and later, quarter waters. We break it 8, but it's quarter to 4. They got jokes. Like, oh yeah, he's fasting. Something about blessings, heaven everlasting. Asking, like it feds up on me. But dude, let me ask you for real, is you hungry? My hunger for the day when the sins of my slate be as empty as the food on my plate. And if you got jokes, man, here's a taste. Take a little fast breath to the face. Ramadan vibrations, more donations.
dinner invitations, many supplications. Good behavior means better reputations. Don't start nothing, no provocations. No fighting, no argumentation. From the fitna and the drama, take a vacation. Monsters packed with a huge congregation. Some just come as an annual visitation. Some just come for the hum of the recitation. Memorization of revelation. Less temptation and more contemplation. Getting ready for the Eid celebration. Shake a lot of hands, giving salutations. Salaam alaikum, peace upon the nation. The world is one, forget the segregation. Another Ramadan, congratulations.
Assalamu alaikum.